Some people don't believe that Tyrann Mathieu being added to the New Orleans Saints makes the Saints a playoff contender. I'm going to tell you why that argument doesn't hold any water. We get all that and a little bit of land yap for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints.
You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome into this Wednesday episode of Locked On Saints, your daily podcast covering the New Orleans Saints, part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thanks as always, making Locked On Saints your first listen of the day every day. Don't forget that we are free and available on all platforms, including on YouTube as well. And I'm your host, Ross Jackson, at Ross Jackson NOLA on Twitter, USA Today's Saints Wire, Tuesdays in Locked On NFL. And here with you every single Monday through Friday on Locked On Saints. Today's episode of Locked On Saints is brought to you by our friends over at Blue Nile. Give your mom something that she will treasure forever, her forever peace, over at BlueNile.com. And don't forget that Locked On Sports listeners get $50 off of a $500 purchase by heading over to BlueNile.com today using the promo code Locked On at checkout. So there are a lot of folks out there that have talked about how the New Orleans Saints adding Tyrann Mathieu is a good add, but it doesn't necessarily make them a better team than they were last year. And I'm going to tell you that the big argument around that doesn't hold any water at all. Usually when you hear people talking about, hey, look, Tyrann Mathieu's nice, he's not... Now, first of all, they would all be very excited to see them, to see him be added to their team. Let's not forget that. But on top of that, the New Orleans Saints are not in a situation here to where they're going to rely on Tyrann Mathieu to win them games. That's not the way that the New Orleans Saints defense works. The defense operates as a unit. And that's what Dennis Allen has been so good at for so long with this New Orleans Saints defense. So oftentimes what you'll hear when people are saying that, well, don't get too excited about the Tyrann Mathieu signing. It doesn't make the Saints a better team than they were last year, which is not a sentiment that I agree with, by the way, as you would know from the earlier episodes this week on how excited I've been. But usually when people say that, it's accompanied with the comment, something like, Tyrann Mathieu isn't the Tyrann Mathieu that he was years ago. Stale argument. Here's my thing around that. That's not the expectation. No one wants that. And no one is expecting that from Tyrann Mathieu. It's not like people are, it's not like the New Orleans Saints are saying, oh, we got to get Tyrann Mathieu in here because did you see the way he returned punts when he was playing for the LSU Tigers? That's not the way that this works. The New Orleans Saints aren't looking for Tyrann Mathieu to come in and play a role that he might have played when he was a rookie or his second or third season. They're looking for Tyrann Mathieu, who will be 30 years old by the time that the season starts. He's not that old. 30 years old when the season starts, to effectively come in and play the role that a 33 and 34-year-old Malcolm Jenkins played over the last two seasons. So can we stop with the, oh, well, they're expecting Tyrann Mathieu to be this, that, and the other, and he's not that player anymore, yada, yada, yada. And also, can we please not pretend like Tyrann Mathieu hasn't been good recently? Like, what is this? What is going on? Have we all gone nuts? Are people going crazy? I think they are. You're talking about Tyrann Mathieu, who was a first-team all-pro safety 2 years ago. Actually, two out of the last 3 years, 2019 and 2020, he's also been a Pro Bowler for the last two seasons, 2020, 2021. So chill. Chill with this idea that, oh, well, the Saints' expectations of bringing in Taysom, I don't even know why I said that. Bringing in Tyrann Mathieu, I guess is the TY. Bringing in Tyrann Mathieu, it's too unwieldy. It's too large. I mean, they're not going to get that type of play out of him. I've also heard people say, well, Tyrann Mathieu is not going to be the deep-ranging free safety that Marcus Williams is. No, he's not, and he's not going to be expected to. That's what drives me nuts about some of these arguments, is that there's just sort of this really inaccurate understanding of what it is that the Saints see in Tyrann Mathieu. Tyrann Mathieu is not being brought in to replace Marcus Williams. If anybody's going to replace Marcus Williams in terms of a deep safety role, that's going to be Marcus May. Marcus May, the guy that played that role his early portions of his career. Not Tyrann Mathieu, who's really never been a rangy free safety. That's not usually been what he's been asked to do. We're talking about a guy instead in Marcus May, who's got 24 career passes defended, 22 of them taking place over the first 4 years of his career, which is really where he focused in as a rangy, deep safety, as opposed to in 2021, where he was sort of moved to the box safety role by Robert Saleh in that New York Jets defense. He actually started there a little bit in 2020 as well, but toward the end of the season, they had to move him back to a more rangy situation, and that's where he started picking passes off all over again, right? And we talked as well yesterday about, you look at next-gen stats, forced incompletion percentage since 2017. Marcus Williams is second on that list. Marcus May first on that list. So if you're looking for somebody to replace Marcus Williams, that guy was already in the building in Marcus May. Now that you've got Tyrann Mathieu, things just grow a little bit more, have a little bit more clarity in terms of who's playing what role. Because it kind of was a question mark around, is Marcus May going to be the rangy free safety or is he going to be the strong safety? And the answer can be both, right? This is what the New Orleans Saints do so well. They utilize versatile pieces and they utilize multiplicity on their defensive side. Tyrann Mathieu gives you that, Marcus May gives you that, but they give you that in different ways, right? So you're not necessarily going to look for Tyrann Mathieu to sprint halfway across the field on laterally to knock away the pass from a wheel route in a Philadelphia Eagles game like Marcus Williams did last year, but maybe Marcus May does that for you. Instead, you're looking for Tyrann Mathieu to basically play the Malcolm Jenkins role, the pesky role that just demolishes your offense because he sees what's coming. And he's able to communicate that effectively in the moment to the rest of the secondary players and sometimes second-level players that are around him. So let's stop with the Saints can't do anything right stuff. I mean, between trying to say that the Saints could have traded for A.J. Brown and drafted six players instead of drafting Chris Olave and Trevor Penning, which is just ridiculous, and then now this whole idea that Tyrann Mathieu isn't who he used to be, so the Saints didn't do anything to improve themselves, I just think that these things are ridiculous. So let's just hold off a little bit on some of the criticism that you're seeing, and let's wait to see before we start grading things. Let's wait to see what the test actually looks like and how the Saints actually work there, because I think the Saints are going to be a very scary team in 2022, especially if they're all able to stay healthy here throughout the offseason and all that. And if the offense is able to get churning, even scarier. But that defense in particular for the New Orleans Saints, which is where they've been hanging their laurels over the course of the past few seasons, undoubtedly got better. And just because you might be somebody that doesn't understand the value of what a guy that Tyrann Mathieu brings, just because you might be that guy, it doesn't mean that the New Orleans Saints see it the same way. All right, coming up in a little bit, we're going to go through all 17 undrafted free agents. I'm going to give you something you need to know about each and every one of them. But first, Michael Thomas, Chris Olave, they're already working out together. So let's talk about why they could be the NFL's best receiving duo in 2022. We got that coming up for you as we continue on with today's episode of Locked On Saints. Before we get to that, Mother's Day this weekend, May 8th, don't forget, get your mama something nice, and the best place to do that is going to be with our friends over at BlueNile.com. All the fantastic fine jewelry that they have for you. So if you're looking for fine jewelry, but you don't necessarily know exactly, you're having some trouble choosing what it is that you're looking for, their experts are on hand 24/7, even though they're an online jeweler. It's really, really cool. Available via phone or chat if you just want to stick to it on your computer, and then they'll make sure that you get the most memorable gift for every budget. So if you're looking for diamond stud earrings, elegant tennis bracelets, birthstone pendants, gemstone necklaces, whatever it is that you're looking for, they're going to have you all taken care of so you can celebrate your mother on a day that she deserves to be celebrated. Mother's Day, it's time to give your mom something that she will treasure forever and will never forget, and it's with the fine jewelry over at BlueNile.com. And Locked On Sports listeners, you're going to get $50 off of $500. This podcast exclusive is good only through Mother's Day, so don't miss your chance. Use the promo code Locked On. That's code Locked On, LOCKEDON, at checkout. Every order is insured. It ships free, and it arrives in discreet packaging so it doesn't spoil the beautiful gift that's inside. So you can shop stress-free and find your forever peace over at BlueNile.com today. All right, family, continuing on with today's episode of Locked On Saints. Thanks again for making Locked On Saints your first listen of the day every day, making Locked On Saints a top 200 sports podcast in the country across all of the sports podcasts. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We've had record days, record weeks, and we're on our way to another one, so let's keep it going. I appreciate y'all so much. Whether you're new to the show, whether you've been here for a while, can't wait to continue to be with you here 5 days a week throughout the entire offseason. Don't miss a show. Make sure you're subscribed wherever you get your podcasts. And of course, you can watch on YouTube as well. We've had record-breaking days over there as well. So thank you for all the support. So let me make sure I'm still giving you that content that you want. So I just went on my little rant about Tyrann Mathieu and the haters and all this other stuff. But let's focus now about Michael Thomas and Chris Olave. According to, you can see it on Michael Thomas's Instagram story, looks like he and Chris Olave, they're already starting to get work in together, which is great. Now, I talked to Chris Olave at the Combine, asked him a little bit about his standing relationship with Michael Thomas. He talked about how he sees Michael Thomas as a big-time role model, that he reached out to him all throughout that 2021 season and even before, and that he would love to be able to play, first of all, in the Superdome, because the last time he played there worked out really well for him, but also because he would love to be opposite Michael Thomas. Well, now he gets all of that, right? He gets that opportunity. So he was really excited about it. The idea of it at the Combine, we'll probably be able to talk to him once we get media availability during rookie minicamp. So I'll be able to bring you a little bit of those interviews later on in the month as well. As rookie minicamp is like the 13th, like we're almost there. So those two have been connected for some time, but now to see them actually like getting work in together and understanding that, hey, this is a dynamic duo that could be one of the best in the NFL in 2022. And I'm not just saying that, right? Our friends here, BetOnline, our exclusive online sportsbook, they've got Chris Olave as the favorite right now for offensive player of the year. That's over Kenny Pickett, the quarterback, who's very likely going to start for the Pittsburgh Steelers in 2022. So you're seeing it. You're seeing the vision. They're seeing the vision. So I hope you're seeing the vision as well. And the vision here comes down to the complementary route tree that these two guys run. Now, just about any route tree can be complementary to Michael Thomas, because Michael Thomas can run just about the entire route tree. Not even just about. According to Reception Perception, this guy's hitting, you know, 80%+ success rates on every route that's out there for him outside of maybe the screen. And so I think that when you look at Michael Thomas's route tree, what you're looking for is a guy that's able to have an expansive route tree as well. And Chris Olave has that. So that's why these guys are really complementary to one another, because you're going to be able to put them on the same side of the field and run the Saints love their sail concepts, which is kind of a post route coming to the middle of the field and then a clear out sort of fly route that's coming from the slot. You can reverse that as well. You can run a corner route and then run the same thing. Pretty similar, similar scheme, similar situation there. And so you're going to be able to put them on the same side of the field, or you can run other concepts where they're on opposite sides of the field. And then instead of running half field reads, you're running full field reads, which is something that now that you've got Jameis Winston, who's your starting quarterback going into 2022, effectively no questions asked, unless there's some weird setback with the ACL recovery, he can do, right? He can read a full field. So now you have these two pieces that are going to come in and be able to help to increase the efficiency of the Saints offense, where you saw, you know, just barely over a 60% completion percentage across all of the quarterbacks last year. And so I think that you get Michael Thomas, who helps to raise your completion percentage because he's got, like, you know, he'll finish with a 70%+ catch rate. Chris Olave, who also doesn't really drop passes, but also gives you the opportunity to be able to take the field, take the top off of the defense, and give a defense enough of a scare because of the fact that he can take the top off, along with the threat that comes with usually having to double team Michael Thomas. Then all of a sudden, all of your other weapons like Deontay Hardy are very much available to you. And of course, passing out of the backfield with guys like Alvin Kamara, and keep an eye on Abram Smith, the undrafted free agent out of Baylor. So for the Saints and for Michael Thomas and Chris Olave, who are already starting to get work in, build the chemistry now. Build the chemistry now, because the technique, the fundamentals, the route trees, all the complementary pieces are already there in terms of the traits, the tool set, right? Now you get the chemistry built, the intangibles, you start to build that early. And then these guys are going to be something to watch by the time that you get to the 2022 season week one. Now, I want to go over a couple of numbers here. And these are all per perception. I'm sorry, reception perception, excuse me. These are win percentages against man, press, zone, all of that. So I want to talk a little bit about Chris Olave. This is against collegiate competition, but good collegiate competition, right? We're talking Big Ten schools, all that. Versus man over the course of his career, or excuse me, over the course of last season. 78% win percentage versus man. On top of that, a 76.1% win percentage against press. If I were to ask you who you thought possibly was the number one player in both of those metrics in this year's draft class, I think I would probably expect that to be USC's Drake London, right? Big, burly guy, physical, all of that. Maybe Treylon Burks would have taken that for me too. I wouldn't have expected the 180-ish pound Chris Olave to be the number one player against both man and press, but he was, and he is. So coming into this draft class, you're getting somebody that is going to be able to handle the physical corner play style of the Carolina Panthers, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and the Atlanta Falcons. Now, getting to it at an NFL level and all of that, of course, is a bit of a step up, right? We can't ignore that at all. But these are good signs in terms of translatable skills that will come in and be able to complement Michael Thomas over on the other side, because you're probably going to see a lot of defenses want to man up against the Saints offense, but now they're going to struggle to do so when they're not just manning up on for Michael Thomas's sake. Now you have another man beater that's able to get this done. But let's not pretend like Chris Olave struggles against zone either. An 83.1% zone win percentage last season, fifth in this year's draft class. And he also had the top contested catch rate in this draft class as well, which really, really translates well in terms of the combination of that and his ability to play against man and press. So just to combine that and sort of give some perspective of what that looks like across from Michael Thomas, Michael Thomas's numbers in 2020. So remember, this is now against NFL talent, right? And this is now against, or in the 2020 season, where he was dealing with an injury the entire season. 76.5% win percentage against man. That was above the 90th percentile in the NFL that season. 78.6% against press. That was in the above the 85th percentile, in the NFL that season. And then an 80.7% win percentage against zone. So these are fantastic numbers, and these are fantastic numbers that complement one another big time, because you can come out in zone, you can try to press these guys, you can switch to man, you can do whatever you want. These guys, the scheme versatility that they're able in terms of putting together and winning against, it's going to be really, really tough to stop them, especially if they get the chemistry going and they don't run into the same issues that the Saints ran into last year, which was spacing, to where wide receivers were clumped too much together. Their breaks weren't coming at the right time. They were carrying defenders into another player's route, all of these other things. You're not going to see that when you have the route running precision of a Michael Thomas and a Chris Olave. That's why these guys win, and that's why they'll win together beginning in 2022 as one of the best receiving duos in the NFL. All right, coming up next, something you need to know about all 17 UDFAs that the Saints sign. Undrafted free agent season is upon us. We'll let you know who to be excited about. We got that coming up for you as we continue on to wrap up today's episode of Locked On Saints. But first, I'm going to tell you about the best tasting protein bar on the market. And trust me, I've tried them all. Tried them all. Every single one. Name a protein bar. Yep, tried it. Name another one. Yep, tried it. None of them as good as Built Bar. The best tasting protein bar on the market. The protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. I love their mentality when they make these things. They go for best taste first, and then they worry about making it healthy. And they also cover it in 100% chocolate, which is pretty dope. But even though they cover it in 100% chocolate and they have some flavors like cookies and cream, salted caramel, and cherry barcia, which all sound super sweet, you're talking about only 4 or 5 grams of sugar. And most of these bars have only 130 calories, 4 grams of net carbs, but still give you 17 grams of protein. It's simple. It's efficient. Only like 6 bites, right? And they're not that chewy and you don't have to fight them. You don't have to put them in the microwave for a little while in order to just be able to cram them down your gullet. These are actually enjoyable to eat. So switch out your candy bar, switch out your protein bars, go and check out built.com to get your favorite protein bar today. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKED15, L-O-C-K-E-D-1-5, so you can get 15% off of your next order. Doesn't matter if it's your first or your next, it's promo code LOCKED15 to get you 15% off over at built.com. Let's get it, Who Dat Nation. Wrapping up today's episode of Locked On Saints with a rapid fire segment on all 17 undrafted free agents that the New Orleans Saints have signed. What you need to know before we get started, the New Orleans Saints, they have a type. They want leadership, they want multi-sport athletes, and they want guys that are healthy. Let's get it. All right, so I want to start off here with DeMarcus Fields, the defensive back out of Texas Tech. 5'11", 196 pounds, 4.48 speed, pretty good. Played football, basketball, and track, and also played wide receiver in high school. Moved to corner his senior year of high school before heading to Texas Tech. 49 passes defended throughout his career. Pretty, pretty good, but only 4 interceptions. So, multi-sport athlete. This is something you're going to hear a ton. And somebody that played on both sides of the ball, something you're going to hear a ton about these guys as well. Vincent Gray, cornerback from Michigan. 6'2", 192 pounds, 4.54 speed, respectable. Basketball player, of course, wide receiver and cornerback in high school, and he also played track during his freshman year. Played track, ran track. Scheme versatile, played in Mike McDonald's system over at Michigan. It's pretty good. He's got a man zone system over there. However, no career interceptions, something to watch there. Jack Kerner, the safety out of Iowa, 6 foot, 209 pounds, 4.53 speed, played cornerback and wideout in high school, lettered in baseball. Saints love this in their safeties. He's also a permanent team captain on that Iowa defense. Smoke Monday. This is one of the guys I told you I think has the best chance to make the 53-man roster. You can find that in yesterday's episode on Tuesday. Dane Brugler's 18th ranked safety. 6 foot one, 207 pounds, 4.52 speed. Grew up in Atlanta. Already went out and yelled at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. You got to love that. DB wide receiver in high school. He lettered in football, basketball, baseball, and track. This guy did it all. 13 passes defended, 5 interceptions, and had an interception return for a touchdown in each of the last 3 seasons. Joel DeBlanco, linebacker out of Cincinnati, 6 foot two, 243 pounds, 4.75 speed. He's a durable player, always available for those Cincinnati Bearcats. He was a special teams captain in 2021. The Saints love their special teamers, led the team with 113 tackles, played middle linebacker as well in that Bearcats defense beginning in 2020. Isaiah Pryor, linebacker slash safety, I think I'll say, out of Notre Dame, 6 foot one, 220 pounds, 4.64 speed. He was actually ranked as the third safety on ESPN's recruiting class in 2016. Spent 3 years at Ohio State, actually, before spending 2 graduate seasons at Notre Dame. So he's got some of that Buckeye bloodline as well. Nephi Sewell, last name probably sounds familiar, linebacker out of Utah, 5'11", 226 pounds, 4.67 speed. A little undersized for a linebacker, but also played running back and defensive back in high school. Actually broke his neck his junior year of high school, required surgery immediately the next day, lost that entire season, came back the next season, put up 1,262 rushing yards and 14 touchdowns. Pretty incredible. He's actually the older brother of Penei Sewell, who was drafted, the offensive lineman out of Oregon in 2020 to the Detroit Lions. He's also the older brother of another Sewell brother that is a linebacker right now for Oregon. He's also got 2 uncles that played double-digit years in the NFL. Sage Dockstetter, hope I said that right, offensive tackle out of New Mexico State, 6'6", 317 pounds. He was actually drafted by the Toronto Argonauts, 12th overall in the 2021 Canadian Football Draft, Canadian Football League Draft, but went back to New Mexico State for his additional year of eligibility with the COVID seasons and all that. Lewis Kidd, guard out of Montana State, 312 pounds, 5.17 speed, pretty good. He's got an amazing head of hair, an incredible head of hair. Go Google him right now. Lewis Kidd, 2 Ds. He played both guard and tackle at Montana State, had 48 straight starts, basketball and track, multi-sport athlete, very healthy, durable guy. What the Saints love. Derek Schweiger, I think I pronounced that right, guard out of Iowa State, 6'3", 314 pounds, 5'1 speed, pretty good there. Started 25 straight games, health. Led the way for running back Breece Hall, who was one of the first running backs off the board this year. Lettered in baseball and basketball, he was a multi-sport athlete. Offense and defense, played both in high school. Eric Wilson, guard Penn State. This is going to be the last of the offensive linemen that the Saints have looked at in terms of undrafted free agency. 6'3", 306 pounds, played 22 games for Harvard from 2017 to 2020. It means he's smart. I don't know if you know this. Ryan Fitzpatrick went to Harvard. Joined Penn State in 2021 as a guard, played track and field, and he was also a Mr. Football finalist his senior year in Minnesota. All right, got a couple of specialists here for you. Remember, this is how the Saints landed Blake Gillikin, right? I don't think either of these guys are challenging Blake Gillikin or Will Lutz, specifically Will Lutz. John Parker Romo is the kicker that they brought in out of Virginia Tech. He was more of a kickoff specialist than he was a place kicker, but he did go 18 of 22 in his final year at Virginia Tech. He was 7 of 9 from 40 plus yards, perfect on PATs, 34 of 34, played soccer, which is usual for specialists, particularly kickers and punters, and then also ran track and field. This guy I'm so excited about because I think his story is awesome. Daniel Whelan. Punter out of UC Davis, but he's Irish-born. Irish-born. Averaged 47.9 yards per punt, had a career-long last year with 67 yards, 74 career punts inside 20 yards, played soccer first as well. I just think it's so cool that he's an Irish-born player in the NFL. What an awesome, awesome journey. All right, Abram Smith, running back from Baylor. We broke him down as well as one of our 3 UDFAs that we think have the best chance to make the roster in yesterday's episode. 5'11", 213 pounds, 4.5 speed. Depth problems at Baylor actually forced him to move to linebacker in 2019. He was part of Matt Rhule's first recruiting class in Waco. Moved back to running back in 2021, okay? Just this past season. Moved back to running back in 2021. After a COVID year, after 2 years of having to switch over to linebacker, all that, moves back, and puts up massive numbers. 257 carries, his first season as a collegiate running back. 257 carries, 1,601 yards and 12 touchdowns. Also attended the Senior Bowl, which we know the New Orleans Saints love.
All right, here's another one that a lot of folks seem to be pretty excited about. Lucas Kroll, tight end from Pittsburgh. Dane Brugler's 24th ranked tight end. Seemed to have some technique things that he was a little bit concerned about. But 6'6", 253 pounds, 4.63 speed, pretty good. But here's the really interesting thing. He was actually drafted in the 34th round of the 2018 MLB draft by the San Francisco Giants. He was a lefty pitcher. He had 37 catches for 443 yards and 6 touchdowns in 2021 with quarterback Kenny Pickett. He's also got some passing stats as well from his time over at Florida. Florida legend, as Locked On Gators host Brandon Olson referred to him. Wide receiver, kick returner Rashid Shaheed of Weber State. He was our third guy yesterday. 5'10", 181-pound return specialist. FCS all-time leader in kick return touchdowns with 7. He also had 29.1 yards per kick return during his time at Weber State. All-time leader there. He was also the third most in terms of all-purpose yards in school history. And finally, Dajon Dixon, the wide receiver out of Nicholls State. I was really close to putting him on yesterday's list. Really, really close. So we're going to do a bigger breakdown on Dajon. 6'2", 205 pounds, 4.62 speed wide receiver out of Nicholls State. Yes, he's a New Orleans, Louisiana native. Lettered in basketball and football at Edna Carr High School in New Orleans. 2 1,000-yard receiving seasons at Nicholls. He also had 35 career touchdown receptions, which is a Nicholls State record. He also holds Nicholls State records for receptions, receiving yardage, and even points scored, which is really, really hard to do as a skilled position player. So Dajon Dixon, a name to remember. All right, that's all 17 of them. That's 17 undrafted free agents, something you need to know about each and every one of them. We'll break them down a little bit further as we go through. Coming up tomorrow, we'll go through draft pick by draft pick, starting off with Chris Olave. We'll talk about his fit. We'll talk more specifically about what it is that he brings to the team, and we'll kind of project a little bit of a rookie stat line for him. What's the expectation for Chris Olave going into his rookie season? We'll break that down tomorrow. Thanks as always for making Locked On Saints your first listen of the day. Every day, don't forget that we're free and available on all platforms. Appreciate you being here. For your second listen, go and check out the Locked On NFL podcast. Less than 30 minutes, everything you need to know going around the league with the local experts all through every Monday through Friday. Appreciate you as always making me a part of your day. If you need anything else around your New Orleans Saints, make sure you follow me on Twitter at Ross Jackson, N-O-L-A. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. And trust you, that nation. I'll holla at you.